Okay, so we can start with the chanting. So please chant along. So this is the Lord Buddha words on loving kindness. Okay, so this is what should be done by one who is skilled in goodness and who knows the path of peace. Let them be able and upright, straightforward and gentle in speech, humble and non-conceited, contented and easily satisfied, unburdened with duties and frugal in their ways, peaceful and calm and wise and skillful, not proud or demanding in nature. Let them not do the slightest thing that the wise would later reprove. Wishing in gladness and in safety, may all beings be at ease, whether they are living, wherever beings they may be, whether they are weak or strong, or meeting none, the great or the mighty, medium, short or small, the seen and the unseen, those living near and far away, those being born and to be born, may all being be at ease. Let none deceive another or despise any being in any state. Let none through anger or ill will wish harm upon another, even as a mother protects with her life her child, her only child. So with a boundless heart should one cherish all living being, radiating over the entire world, spreading upward to the skies and downward to the depth, outwards and unbounded, free from hatred and ill will, whether standing or walking, sitting or lying down, free from drowsiness. One should understand this recollection. This is said to be the abiding, by not holding to fixed views, the pure-hearted one, having clarity of vision, being free of sense desires, is not born again into this world. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay.
Thank you. Over to you, Bindu.
Okay, so as usual, I think with any topic, I'm not sure what topic we should talk about, but maybe we'll talk about the way that we view things within ourselves, with the other people, and also with the world, because it's quite interesting. One thing I notice sometimes, my interaction with other people in the community, and sometimes it's positive, and sometimes it can be a bit negative. Sometimes it can lead to a bit of argument and conflict. So when we look at conflicts within ourselves, with other people, we realize this is basically a part of nature. Just being a human being, there's time to time, there's a lot of disagreement. And sometimes when that disagreement happens, it can lead to mistrust, argument, misunderstanding. Just like all of us in the world. So even in monastery, things like that tends to happen once in a while. Because one thing I've been reflecting, that if there's too much discussion over a topic, the community is a bit, in a lot of disagreement with. So What I mean by that is, okay, due to climate change and the global warming, the monastery is thinking of getting an electric vehicle to lessen the amount of fuel that we're using. Because in the monastery, we have about 28 monks. So there's a lot of driving for the monastic to drive to town to see the doctors, to go out for house dana, blessing, funerals, in-town teaching at the Buddhist Society of Western Australia. So there's a lot of driving to the doctors and dentists and stuff. So in the monastery is using about $2,000 of fuel a month. So there's a lot of fuel use. So the monastery decided for this year, Katina, is to raise money to buy an electric vehicle. So we are planning to buy a new electric vehicle for the monastery as a trial and see if we can lower the emission of the monastery. Because in the monastery, we have a few cars, so we plan to get an electric vehicle and hopefully put in some solar panels and also batteries so we can lower our carbon footprint in the monastery. But talking about electric vehicles become a very hot topic because there's so many disagreements, which model we should get, which we should not spend this amount. And being myself as a mechanic, I give the best advice for the best vehicle, value for money and liability. And sometimes the Sangha members and the committee say that we should not spend something too expensive or too luxurious to go for the like the cheapest model, or we can basically don't buy electric vehicles at all, because they will dig out the material from the earth that will damage the earth. So I realized, wow, there's so many different views and opinions. So sometimes it can lead to some hot argument and confusion. Sometimes when I think about it a lot, I go back and I say that all I wanted is just to recommend the best electric vehicle in the market that won the most award and will last the monastery the maximum time and also longest battery life. But I didn't expect so much argument over just an electric vehicle in the first electric vehicle in the monastery. So I realized this topic is quite interesting because the monastery is similar to the world. People are arguing back and forward about fossil fuel use, and we should decarbonize as soon as possible so we don't hit the target of less than 1.5 degrees temperature rise in the next 50 years or 100 years. So it's quite interesting when I realize that all this argument and debate is basically coming from fear and uncertainty. Because if we incline our mind towards the future, it can stir a lot of, fear in one's mind, confusion, and doubt. Because if you think about the future too much, then it does lead to a lot of confusion. Because the more we think, the more we worry, and more fear will arise in our mind. So sometimes when I realize that, when I go back to my kuti, and if I try and meditate, my mind will be all over the place. And I realize this is coming from just overthinking and trying to work things out to have a harmony in the monastery. But sometimes when you can't work things out, sometimes the best thing you do is just let things be and let it go. So when you let things go, then next morning, you wake up with a very peaceful mind, and you realize when the mind is peaceful, then there's a lot of peace and letting go. If the mind is very confused, then there's no peace and there's no letting go. Because letting go is always easier said than done. But when we are too confused with too many thoughts, then it can lead to some fear arise. So fear is something that's very important to face up to. When fear arises, best not to hide or run away or get angry too much with it. Because fear is very natural. And fear is very important to the practice of meditation and do Dharma practice, because when we have fear arise, we sit with it, we watch it, we understand it, then we let it go. So when we let it go, then peace will arise. When there's peace in one's heart and mind, then we can see things more clearly. Yeah? Because everyone's have their own opinion, and sometimes it's good to sit down and explain things carefully to people in the community and our supporters and our committee members, so they understand where we're coming from, why getting an electric vehicle is good for the monastery and it's good for the environment. And sometimes you look at all the positive things, like these days the batteries are built to last for a very long time. So the warranty on new electric vehicles, you see, is about eight years. Yep. When they first came out, they did have a lot of problems. But electric vehicles have been on the market for about 10 years. So a lot of the problems have been ironed out. So it's good to talk to the committee, the other monks, look at all the benefit. Because sometimes when people heard that we're getting an electric vehicle, they always look at all the negative reason not to get one, like things like the battery will blow up, they will break down, and things like you're supporting the coal power station. So it's not helping the environment. Sometimes when all these topics or disagreement happen, sometimes it's good to come from common sense and wisdom. Say that batteries are built to last for about 15 years or longer. And you see, you don't need to replace a battery, sometimes up to about 20 years. And the battery technology have improved so much. They're about 80% cheaper when they first came out. And energy density is increased by a lot. And also the lifespan of batteries are even longer these days, about maybe four to five times longer when they first came out. And due to new chemistry in the battery, when there's an accident, the battery does not explode. But they're actually safer than petrol vehicle. Yep. So so as for myself, I have to do a lot of research and give all this information. But sometimes when people hear that we're getting an electric vehicle, they just jump up and down and say, look at all the negative things. So sometimes my job to look at research things and give them the right information. Yep. So it's quite important, according to Buddhist practice, because there is what we call the four foundation of mindfulness. So when you do the four foundation of mindfulness, we are aware of our body, how our body is, if it's relaxed, if it's painful, or if it's tense. Especially if we get into argument too much, then we watch our mind. So we're mindful of the mind to see where our mind is, if it's happy, if it's relaxed, if it's worry, or if there's a lot of fear coming up. Yep. So the body, the mind, then the feeling. So the feeling is basically watching how we feel inside, if there's anxiety coming out, is there worry, and is there fear. Yep. So this, and the last one is the mind object, is what our mind is looking at. So through our five senses, or sometimes you can call it mindful of Dharma. So Dharma is basically the cause and condition of what is happening. So the body, mindfulness of the body, mindfulness of the mind, mindfulness of our feeling, and mindfulness of our sense object, or mindfulness of the Dharma. Yep. So these are the four foundation of practice. Because sometimes when we look at news, or when we look at very hot topics, we can get distracted. And if we get, it leads to a lot of anger or frustration, and especially fear, then it's always good to come back to this four foundation of mindfulness, to see what's happening with our body, our mind, our feeling, and our mind object. So you can, if our mind object is towards someone or something, and it leads to suffering, negativity, anger, or fear, then we should step back and understand what's happening. So when we understand what's happening, then we can view through what's happening with our mind, through our senses, with wisdom and understanding. Because if we don't understand these four foundations of mindfulness, you look at the world, look at the news, there's so much conflict and so much argument because this is coming from ego, a self. And once we say the ego is driven by greed, anger, and also delusion, or the self of the ego. So the whole world is basically driven by greed, hatred, and delusion. So as Buddhists, we go back into our heart and our mind and develop wisdom. So we understand, we let go of greed, let go of anger, and let go of delusion, and develop all those good qualities like compassion, loving kindness, understanding, and respect. Because when we develop all these wholesome qualities, we can see the solution in life and in the world more easily through a positive mind. Not through conflict or argument or specific fear. Because if there's too much thinking, too much thoughts, then it could lead to fear and mistrust. Okay, so that's a quick discussion on Dharma practice. So it's basically, so that's one thing I came across in my mind, because a bit of fear happened when I was by myself in my kuti. And that came from this a lot of argument in the monastery over electric vehicle. I don't believe it sometimes myself. Okay, so hopefully we can start the guided meditation. So I think it's time. Okay, please. So we sit comfortably and we relax the body. And if you're in your house or in the back garden, you can always turn off the light or find somewhere that's very quiet. So when you relax, then you gently close your eye. With your eye gently closed, we take three big breaths. Breathe in, then we breathe out. Then we breathe in, and we breathe out and relax. We relax our face. Relax our body. You always start off relaxing the body first, as much as possible. Especially if you've been working very hard. Because when we are very busy in our daily life, our body might be a bit tense. And when the body is tense, we need to learn to make it peaceful, relax and at ease. So it's always good to start off with a body scanning first, just to relax the body more. So we start off with our head. We relax the top of our head. We relax our face. We relax our throat. We relax our neck. We relax our upper body. We relax our chest. We relax our arm. Relax our right and left arms. We allow it just to sag, so it's not stiff. Relax our hands. Relax our fingers. Then we gently bring our awareness to our back. Make sure it's nice and straight, but not too rigid. We relax our back. We relax our tummy. Then we bring our awareness to our lower back that's sitting on the chair or cushion. Then we relax our lower back. And if you need to move it, please move it. Move it into its nice and comfortable. And we relax our lower back. Now we bring our awareness to both our legs. Relax our leg. Relax our thigh. Relax both our knees. Then we slowly make our way down to our foot. Relax our ankle. Relax both our feet. And if you need to, you can gently move it around and just relax our feet and our toe. Now we gently bring our awareness to our whole body and just notice any part of our body that's a bit tight, tense, or a little bit of pain, and we just make peace with the pain, and just relax, make peace with the pain, the tightness. The tightness, and just relax this whole body. After relaxing the body, we bring our awareness back to our face. And we relax our face and just breathe gently, calmly, peacefully, in and out, and make peace with this moment. We let go any thoughts, memory, and feeling on the past. Let it go. It's not important. The past is already gone. We don't worry about the future. It's so uncertain. We stay in this present moment awareness. This is the most important time. It's where we make peace in this moment. And let go of the past and the future. Now is the time we can be free from all worries and concern with the world. And gently stay within this body, the safety of this body, and allow our breath to calm the body and calm the mind and make peace with this moment. If you find your mind is still wandering, it's okay. The mind will wander time to time. Just gently bring the mind back to the breath. Stay with the breath. Stay with the body and just relax this body as much as possible. we make peace with our feeling, our thoughts, and our body. And there's peace, there's freedom. If there's any part of the body, our back, or our leg, or arms, that's a bit tense or in pain, it's okay to gently move it around until it becomes more relaxed. Allow any tension, stiffness, to go away. Smilefully move any part of your body that's stiff or a bit painful, and just relax. Meditation is not sitting like a rock. It's basically just relaxing and making the body at ease. So if you need to move it, just move it. Move it around until it's nice and comfortable. Then relax. Then relax the body. And gently go back to the breath. And allow your breath to calm the mind and calm the body. Relax and letting go. if you find your mind is still wandering a bit, it's okay. Sometimes when things are quiet and peaceful, the mind will wander a bit. The goal of meditation is not to stop the wandering mind or stop thinking. It's to calm and relax the mind and relax the body. The more we can stay with the breath, then our thoughts will slowly become less and calm and stay with the breath. The less we wonder, the more peace there will be. We allow our thoughts to settle and make peace with this moment. Peace and letting go. The more we let go, the more we become mindfulness on peace. Peace, calm, letting go. Mindfulness on peace and happiness through letting go. We have a few minutes left. So please enjoy the rest of the remaining time. we'll be finishing soon. So just wait for the bell to ring 3 times. So just gently come out from your meditation and just relax for a few minutes. Or relax for a minute. Wow, there's quite a lot of people tonight. Yeah, it's about 30 people joining us online. Probably the biggest group I've seen so far. Yeah, so it's good just to have a break from ourselves and from the world. Find some peace and distance. It's so important, time to time, just to have a break. Regardless what's happening with our life, our job, our work, our relationship, or what's happening in the world. It's out of control. The best thing we can do is just find time to distance ourselves. So when we distance ourselves from the world, from our friends, from our family, and also from our 5 senses, then we can find some peace, happiness, and freedom. This mindfulness practice is very important. As I remember, 2 weeks ago, I was working on the vehicle. Because one of my jobs in the monastery is to fix and maintain the monastery vehicle. So I was working on one of the SUV, replacing the power steering pump. So it required to take out the tires, and I decided to check the brakes at the same time. So I didn't... a bit sloppy, so I didn't bend my knee properly, and holding close to me. So the next day, I woke up with a painful back. I was going, oh, geez, I hurt my back again. The last time I hurt my back was when I was working up in the mines, moving the big truck's tire. I thought I was very strong and fit. After the next day, I got really bad back pain. Well, that was pretty bad. But I knew one way is to meditate and just give it a rest. So I did some meditation and it slowly went away and I went back to normal. But 2 weeks ago, I hurt my back again. It wasn't a truck tire, one of those big trucks. It was just a SUV. And first day was too bad, not too bad. I say, okay, I just let it rest. Second day, the pain was there. Third day was still there, but when I sit and meditate, then the pain would disappear. But when I come back from meditation and move, oh, geez, the pain's back there again. Or when I wake up in the morning, okay, it's fine. So as soon as I got up, oh, geez, the pain is back there again. So I realized, oh, I'm getting older, so I'm not getting younger. So I'm not as fit as I used to be. So I remember a trick that I used to do is in the monastery. If I injure or hurt myself, is to stop eating all meat completely. Because these days I don't eat a lot of meat. Maybe I eat 10% meat. But I decided, okay, I need to stop. So I just went completely off meat, stuck to plant, fruit and veggies. And within the next day, I woke up and I go, okay, let's have a look. And I moved my back and the pain was gone. It was stiff, but it was gone. So I realized sometimes diet is very important. Because the Buddha say, food is like medicine. If we eat well, then this body will heal better and become stronger. Yeah, so it's quite interesting. So something I'd like to share with you. So if you ever injure or hurt yourself and you want to recover quickly, just go off meat completely, get plenty of rest, then this body will regenerate quite rapidly. Okay, thank you. Is there any questions from the audience?
Do we have any questions? You're welcome to put them in the chat or to unmute yourself and ask a question if you would like, or if you just simply want to make a comment, you're most welcome to do that too. We have something here.
Okay.
Would you like to read it for you, Venerable?
Yes, thanks, Chris. Easier.
Thank you, Bhante, for your guided meditation. I have a question. How to manage a strong feeling of disgust, which is directed towards oneself? I just have this problem recently. Thank you.
Okay, so it's pretty hard when that do arise in our mind. Sometimes I have that same feeling to myself. If I associate with people that is not practicing, basically keeping the precept or not a Buddhist, or sometimes even if they're practicing Buddhism, sometimes this disagreement will happen. And when that happens, we have to learn to basically forgive ourselves. We are human beings, and we do make mistakes. And when we do make mistakes, we forgive ourselves for the mistake we made. Because if we don't forgive ourselves, we will carry it on in our heart. And if we carry it on, we might think, oh, it's my fault, or that person is not being reasonable. And basically, it leads nowhere. Sometimes, if we understand that if we made a mistake or the other person is too aggressive, then we basically learn to distance from that person as much as possible. But if we feel that we are at fault, sometimes you have to learn to forgive ourselves. But sometimes when I speak a lot, sometimes I might say something out of basically an argument wasn't correct. Then if I go back to my kutia, then I think about it over and over again, saying that, that's not the right information. I should say something better. Maybe I should talk about it before I say anything. And sometimes, I blame myself for mixing around with a group of people that's quite aggressive and quite abusive, and always want to get their way in life. And if I leave that community and come back to another monastery or the main monastery, and I feel like, wow, I was treated so badly, and used and abused, then the more I think about it, it would basically degrade myself. But in Buddhism, we call something called non-self. We think there's a self, there's a I, there's a me, then we'll continue to suffer. But we realize that if there's no one there, and suffering only arises if we think of the negative thoughts, feelings, and memory, then we basically continue to hurt ourselves. It's like someone abuse us. The Buddha say if someone hits you, hits you, abuse you, harm you, like any thoughts of ill will, towards that person, then you're basically not a true precise a student of the Buddha. So that's what the Buddha told his monks, that if any anger arises in one heart, then he's not practicing, he's not a true student of the Buddha. So that sounds really extreme. Sometimes things like that happen, then we can really think about it too much. It basically harms ourselves. Sometimes we have to learn to forgive ourselves, because being a Buddhist monk, I tend to go to different places sometimes, and in some community it can be quite intense, or there's a lot of rivalry, or too much work, or people are under a lot of pressure. Sometimes I feel like I get used and taken advantage. But the good thing is, being a Buddhist monk, we move around and we go to different community. So when I come back to this community, because it's a big community and there's a lot of monks here, then when you're by yourself, all these memories do arise. And when they arise, we have to learn to skillfully let it go. Because we are living in the human plane, and there's always problems arising all over the world, even in monasteries, even with other monks and supporters. And sometimes the best thing to do is just let it go. And when we let it go, we are free. If we don't let it go, we carry it in our heart and in our memory. So that's why meditation is something, takes time. It is a process that we learn to let go of those negative memories and thoughts and feelings. The more we let go, the more we distance ourselves from that person. Yep. And the more we can let go, the less we make the same mistake. Because it is a learning process. I mean, if we are perfect, then we will be all enlightened already. Being enlightened being, being free from all defilements, greed, hatred, and delusion. But must remember, a person that's enlightened, there's no self there. There's no one there. It's just completely empty. There's no one. There's no my suffering, I suffering, my pain, my burden, my fault, my karma. When there's a I and there's a my, there's suffering. When there's no one, there's no self, then there's no suffering. So So non-self is something very deep and very hard to understand. But through letting go, forgiveness to oneself and other people, then we become free. Okay, thank you. Hope that helped. Also, another. Oops, sorry, Chris.
Sorry, Venerable. Thank you very much for the person who asked the question.
Yes. It is difficult being a human being and a practitioner. Sometimes a bit of suffering, a little bit of suffering is good. But when there's suffering, then we can practice and let go. If we live in a perfect community where no one irritates us or take advantage of us, then we will not develop in our practice. The Buddha say, the human plane is the best plane to awaken oneself and develop wisdom. Because some people are born in a very high plane, in a deva plane, where everyone is just nice to one another, and whatever you want, you just think of it and it will happen. In those planes, people don't, those highly developed beings, they don't become fully enlightened, because it's like a long, happy holiday with a lot of good friends. So sometimes I have to feel glad that we are living in a very dysfunctional world with dysfunctional family and friends. Because when there's dysfunctional behavior, then we learn to grow and free ourselves. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you too. Kai would like to ask you a question directly.
Yes, thank you.
Yes, thank you very much. And thank you for your
sharing of the Dhamma. Some time ago, Arjun Kaliano suggested that Deva might use a dream in order to convey a message to us. Do you think it's possible that when for us things are going too well, there's nothing to worry about, everything is going smoothly, no problems, that a Deva might pull the rug from under our feet, so to speak, in order to provide us with a challenge, which in turn helps us to grow? Thank you.
In the Deva realm, Amit, you see people have done a lot of good things in this life and live a very pure life. You see they get reborn in a higher plane. So in those planes, you see it's just all the good merit and blessing and good karma that we've done in our previous life. Then you see those beings live for a very long time before their lifespan finish. Once their lifespan finish, then they get reborn back in another plane. So the plane might be a good place, or might be reborn in a place that's a lot of problem and conflict. Then they have to start over again. But there is two type of devas. There's one that's just that's reborn there due to the good karma. But also there is like devas or practitioners that's been practicing Buddhism their whole life, and also meditation. So once they reborn in a higher plane, those practicing higher beings, the devas, will continue practicing, learning the Dharma, and practicing meditation. And they will continue practicing until basically they can Nibbana, yep, and not get reborn again. Yep. So when the person reached the first stage of awakening, they only have seven life left before finishing everything. But also, if a person reached the second stage, they also get reborn in the higher planes. If a person become the third stage of awakening, the anagami, they only have one more rebirth. That's in the higher planes. And from there, basically, the nibbana. So only the arahana that's fully awakened in the human plane, they don't get reborn again. They're completely free. So, yep. But also there are also other devas that are also practicing full-time in the higher planes. And if they practice well, when they come back, they will always meet a good place. We have good teachers and a good monastery and good support. So it's very important, regardless in this life or the next life, we continue practicing. Yeah. So I hope that answers your question. Thank you. Yep. So also, there are some practitioners that taken the Bodhisattva vow, where they'll just keep on practicing until there's no more suffering in the world. That is also a good vow to take. But the suffering in the world is so long. It's just eons and eons and eons before it ends. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Bhante.
You're welcome.
Is there anybody else who would like to ask a question or make a comment?
Okay, so I guess it's good.
Sajjad, I think it's been a very nice evening, but I do have a question.
Yes.
How can meditation best help reduce stress?
So meditation is mainly just learning to let go, because sometimes if we think, some practitioner, they make the mistake in the beginning. It's called beginner's luck. When they first do meditation, they manage to let go. And when they let go, the mind becomes very peaceful. And some practitioners, when the first time they let go, their five senses disappear and the body vanish. And when the body vanish and the five senses disappear, the mind goes very deep. So when the body disappears and the mind becomes very calm, this radiant brightness will arise in the mind. And when that arises, it's like the person feels very blissful and very free, completely free and blissful. Yep. So you look at people that have near-death experience, they describe the same thing, where the body disappears, the five senses disappear, and this is this really bright light that arises in the mind. And they feel like, wow, they're in another world. But for Buddhist practitioners, we know these things happen in deep meditation. So sometimes for beginners, when the mind is very calm and peaceful, you feel that peace and happiness. And so for some practitioner, very rarely, if they let go of the five senses, then it goes very deep and very calm and very peaceful. That's why for me, I always stress let go of the body first. Because of the body, awareness is a foundation. We let this body relax as much as possible. Then the mind becomes calm and peaceful through letting go of the body and staying with the breath. Yep. So sometimes for beginners, it goes very deep and you get good result. But because of the craving, we want the good result again and again. It becomes like another doing, another wanting. So sometimes it's always good to have a beginner's mind. So a beginner's mind is like we meditate to let go and be peaceful and free. We don't let it meditate to gain or to get something, or to be blissed out in meditation. Yep. Meditate to let go and to free ourselves. So sometimes when we, before we start meditation, we just remind ourselves, okay, time to let things go, and just have a break and just calm this mind down and relax this body as much as possible and just have a break from life. Yep. Free our mind from all the drama and the tension and stress from lay life, and just disappear. Disappear for once. Yeah, so I mean, there's one simile I can take is like, if we work hard and we are so busy and we get involved in so many tasks, we become very we sweat a lot, then we feel very uncomfortable and sticky. So when we take a shower, we clean this body and clean this, then we feel fresh again so we can sleep and rest at night. Yeah. So same with our mind. If we don't let things go, then we carry all this tension, anger and frustration and especially fear in our mind. So meditation is basically like taking a mental shower. So we take a shower to clean this body. We sit down and calm the mind. So basically just get rid of the anxiety, worry and fear. And just give our mind a mental clean. It's like basically refreshing the computer. Yeah, so we refresh this mind. Yeah. Okay, thank you.
And thank you too, because it just brought up something to mind that happened to me today. I had a problem with my computer and I didn't know how to solve it.
Yes.
And so I went and lay down for a while. And rather than getting frustrated, when I came back, the solution came easily.
Yes. Sometimes when we rest or we have a nice meditation, then we have a mind that's free from defilements or less defilements. We can see things clearly with wisdom.
Thank you, Venerable. I have. Does anybody else have another question? I have another one. Yes, please.
Thank you. You mentioned near-death experiences.
Mm-hmm.
A time ago, I had a dream that was really vivid to me. And the next day, I took the tram to town, and as I was sitting on the tram, I was suddenly in that dream. Well, it only lasted for about 3 or 4 seconds, but it felt really real. Then I was back by normal self in the tram, and then the same happened again. Anyway, I had myself checked, but I had possibly a neurological problem of the hearing. So, is it possible that we, in, when we dream, that we go to other realms and then come back?
It is possible, but sometimes that is for yourself to figure out, because your own experience is more important for yourself to see what's going on. Because with the dream state, anything is possible. The reason why I say that is sometimes when I go to a place to visit, sometimes you pick up the energy of the place. It's so weird. And when you go back to sleep, you get these weird dreams that come out. What I mean by that is one time I went to one of the villages in the coast to see one of the supporter. And one of the monks have an episode where he lost his memory and he can't remember who he was for like a couple of hours. So we took him to the emergency department to basically see what's going on. So while I was there, you see so many people coming and going. And so you see in the emergency department, sometimes people don't make it. They die over there. So the next day, I was sleeping. Then this dream came out where I dreamt of like a really vivid dream. I dreamt of this place in the hospital where I see a lot of dead people, basically just stuck and trapped there. Like the vision of the place. And also just you feel the people there that's very scared and worried, and in complete madness and confusion. So after I woke up, I go, wow. But so you see, when you have a dream like that, you wake up and the mind is very calm and peaceful. And you go, oh, that's interesting. Jeez. So after that, I just have to send loving kindness and metta to those people in the hospital that might have died and trapped there. So sometimes dreams is quite interesting because everyone is different. Also, I went to another monastery a few years ago to stay, and I got this same recurring dream of someone being killed and murdered and cut in half. Not once, 3 times in a row. Now, I woke up, I go, wow, what is that? And I felt maybe there's someone in the room. The next day, the same dream happened again. Then the third time, the same dream happened again. I was going, okay, yeah, this place is not so good. There's some really unhappy spirits here. So I asked the caretaker, what happened to this place? Then he told me that the monastery underneath is built old coal mine where they have prisoners and they send prisoners down to the coal mine to dig out the coal. That was maybe 150 years ago. So there's been a lot of death. And they say that the early settlers, they used to catch the native and throw them off the cliff to get rid of the native. So the history of that place is very sad. Then I go, wow, okay, no wonder. I guess it's weird dreams. Yeah, it's like very vivid, and you feel like someone is there. So yeah, it's quite interesting. So you see, if I go to a place that's got a lot of vibe, bad vibe, a lot of like haunting, a lot of death. At night when you sleep, you pick things up like that. I used to have a lot of connection with spirits. I mean, as a monk now, I can't talk about it. But when I was a small child, I used to say that, I used to tell my mum and my dad, I say, oh, is your friends here? They're just wandering around the house. Then my mum and dad say, no, there's no one there. There's no one there. What are you doing? Are you okay? And I go, oh, okay. So as I got older, I asked my friend this. When I was younger, I used to see a lot of things. And my friends say, yeah, when they're younger, they used to see things too. Because when kids, when they're young, our mind is pure. So we tend to see things that when as we get grow up, we lose those ability to see things. Yep. But sometimes when we meditate a lot and the mind become calmer, then those abilities will come up again. Yep. So sometimes we have guests staying in the monastery, and they ask me, oh, they see really bright light moving around. And they ask me, is this monastery haunted? And usually I ask them, how bright the light is? And they say, if it's not very dull, then I say, maybe it's a spirit. But if it's really bright, then you see it might be most likely it's a heavenly beings. Because normally they come and visit monasteries. Yep. So the mind is quite amazing. Yeah. What the abilities that it does. Yep. So all this kind of experience, staying in the monastery is quite interesting. Yeah. Because you meet a lot of interesting practitioners. And being a monk for like 13 to 14 years. You tend to get a lot of interesting feedback. Yep. Sometimes I met a guy that came in, he drives a really nice car, and he's a draft person. And I go, interesting, he's quite well off, and I don't know why he wants to learn meditation. So I'm a bit of bias for me here. But later on, when I got to know him, he told me when he was doing meditation one time, his body just came out from his body. So he was just watching himself meditating from outside his body. And he said he felt very calm and very peaceful. Yep. So sometimes meditation can do that. Sometimes we just sit in any place. And sometimes our conscience will just leave our body. Yep. Yep. So his experience told me that happened to him. And it was quite an amazing experience. Able to just look at himself from high up. Yep. But when he noticed what's happening, he just went back. Okay, thank you. Hope that makes sense.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Kai, for your questions this evening. Venerable, I have a message from the chat for you, and I think this sort of echoes, I think, many people tonight's feelings. I've really enjoyed, personally, listening to you speak this evening. And here is the message. Thank you, Venerable, for the meditation and the discussions. It has been informative and meaningful.
Okay, thank you. Thanks. So,
thank you, Venerable. And Venerable, I'm wondering if I could ask you to offer us a blessing this evening.
Blessing? Any type of blessing?
Something in Pali.
Pali, okay. So I'll just do a short one, so everyone can rest. Okay. Nati ne sarananganu, putu ne sarananganu, ete na sachawate na sutite hote sapata. Nati ne sarananganu, damu ne sarananganu, ete na sachawate na sutite hote sapata. Nati ne sarananganu, Sango me sarananu, ete na sachawate na sutite sapadadada. Okay, so that's a quick short blessing. May the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha protect you. Yep, so basically, may the teaching of the Buddha and the Dharma and the Sangha protect you in your journey. And may you be happy, well, and safe. So that's a quick, short blessing to everyone. Okay, thank you. Thanks for joining. And please take care. Okay, good night. Bye.
Good night.
Thanks, Chris. Thanks for all your hosts. Thank you.
Thank you.